राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन वंदन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन वंदन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे hari krishna hari krishna hari 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 ram hari ram 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 hari 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 ram hari ram 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 hari hari जय
ജഗന്നാഥ ബലദേവ് സുഭദ്രമൈകി ശിലപ്രഭാതകി ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
What time do we speak? Nine o'clock. So, welcome you to this Thursday program. As Govind Prabhu has suddenly become busy, so I have been called here. So, we just went to Udupi Yatra. So, even the smell of the Udupi Prasad is still fresh. That much Udupi Yatra is fresh in our mind. So, it's a very wonderful place to be, and it is also a divine place because it is called as Parashuram Kshetra. The small story of that place, how it is called Parashuram Kshetra, is like this, that one time Kartavirya Arjun came to Jamadagni's ashram in the forest, and Kartavirya Arjun had 1,000 arms. He had done tapasya and he had achieved 1,000 arms. And he had achieved all kinds of siddhis, he achieved all kinds of fame, all kinds of powers, whatever was supposed to be had by a person, he had. So naturally he became very proud because he was inconquerable, he was powerful, he was very famous, he was very beautiful also, he was very strong. So, he thought everything that belongs in this world, I mean is in the world, belongs to him and is supposed to be his. So, he would wander everywhere in pride, and one day he came the same pride to the ashram of Jamadagni. And Jamadagni ji, being a very poor hermit, he still served thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers of Kartavirya Arjuna with sumptuous prasadam. Within few seconds, he produced them. And he fed them. So Kartavirya Arjuna was very surprised. How in the jungle, no resources, how can he feed so many people that to so much heart's content with so many items? Then he came to know that he has a Kamadhenu cow. Because of her, he could serve so many soldiers instantly. So he thought, I am a king of this area. So everything that is precious should be coming to me. So he requested Jamadagni Muni that, please give me this cow. So Jamadagni said, I am a hermit and I am performing my tapasya. I have to perform my Agnihutras every day. And some prasad, not opulent the way I serve you. But I need ghee and I need milk and I mean milk products. I need gobar, I need gomutra. She is providing me, so I need her. So the king felt it is insulting to him. That he is demanding and he is not. He thought that his request is a demand, it has to be fulfilled. So he snatched the cow and he took her away. The cow was also suffering like anything when she was being snatched. She wanted to be with the hermit, not with the proud king. So cow was taken with calf also. And by that time, Devadagni was a Brahmin, so he knew that he has to be tolerant, so he just was in pain, but he tolerated. And Parashuram had gone to jungle to take wood, so he came back and he saw that Kartavarya Arjuna had taken the cow by force. So he went, he picked up his chopper, Parshu, he went and he challenged Kartavarya Arjuna, and Kartavarya Arjuna thought, he's a Brahmin boy, what is he going to do for me? There was a big battle and Parashuram cut off all his 1,000 arms and killed him and brought the cow back to his father. And father came to know that my son has killed the king. The king is supposed to be the emblem of dharma, representative of God. How can you kill the king? You should be tolerant. So what if we lose a cow? We will have to live like that because we are Brahmins. We are supposed to be renunciants. We have knowledge. So on the basis of knowledge, you have to forgive. And you have failed to forgive. So we got very angry. But anyway, already he had killed him, brought the cow back. When he was killing Kartavirya Arjun, maybe he had thousands of sons. They all fled away because they just couldn't stand in front of the prowess and the effulgence and the power of Parshuram. He was like shining like hundreds of suns, you know, when he was fighting with Kartavirya Arjun with so much of vigor and so much of power. So they ran away. And they were looking for opportunity to take revenge. So they came back again when Parshuram went to forest. And at that time, Damodagni was sitting in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of those came, just jumped on his father and chopped off his head and took his head also with them. And then came back Parshuram. He was so angry, blazing like fire. He picked up his bow, arrow, chopper, sword, and he just went, so angry he was that how these unscrupulous, unrighteous kings are prevailing in the world. Don't even know that a personality of Godhead who is meditating, sadhu who is meditating on Supreme Personality of Godhead, in meditation, instead of protecting him, they are killing him, chopping off his head and taking the head away. They should be punished. So, so angry that first of all he went and killed all the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. And he got the head back of his father. And then he joined the head, performed Agniyotras, and brought his father back to life. So powerful he was. And then he went 21 times. I exactly don't know whether he went 21 times, annihilated all the kings, and then came back. I think then he came back and performed Agniyotras and united the head of his father and brought him back to life. And it is explained that whenever he would go out on one round of earth, at that time the rule was the kings who would sit for fire sacrifice, they would be protected. The kings would be surrounded by women, they would be protected. The king who is getting married, he will be saved. So as soon as news would come, Parshuram is coming, suddenly the kings will find another woman and start getting married with her, you know, procuring women. And there was a new unique king was there called Narikavacha. He had many, many, many wives. What he would do when Parshuram would start coming, he would surround himself by women. He would sit in between. They are like Kavach for him. So many of women covering him in layers. So he would be saved, you know, spared. And many of them would sit for fire sacrifice. Immediately get a Brahmin and sit for some Agniyotra somewhere. So like that, somehow he 21 times went, and it is said that he made, first of all, when he killed Kartavirya Arjuna's sons, there was a river of blood which was formed by their blood. Then when he killed so many kings of the world, 7 huge lakes of blood at Simanta Panchaka near Kurukshetra were made by him. Today they are also there, but there is a water there, Brahma Sarovar it is called as. That is where Krishna called the gopis before the Kurukshetra war, Simanta Panchaka. And then he came back and his father was brought back to life and he blessed his son. And Jamadagni was given back life and he was told that you will become one of the Saptarishis in the next Manvantara, when next Manvantara will come. Well, all the land that he procured by killing the kings was his land. So all earth he actually owned by killing all the kings. But to set an example and to repent and to, what do you call, to do atonement, he donated all his land to many, many sadhus and brahmins, and then he had no land to live. And he wanted a place to perform his meditation. So what he did, he came to Gokarna. Gokarna is a place where you cross Madgaon, and the next station comes is Gokarna. Gokarna also is a place of Lord Shiva, where Gokarneshwar also is there. And there is also a temple of Parshuram, where he stood and threw his arrow towards south direction. In such a way that that arrow, that Parshu claimed land from Varuna, who is the king of oceans, lord of oceans. And till Kanyakumari, till the southern ocean, that is Indian Ocean, Arabic Ocean. Is it Arabic Ocean? No. Indian Ocean, Hindi Mahasagar. So about more than 150 to 200 kilometers wide and more than 1000 kilometers length kind of land was claimed from Varuna, and that became Parshuram Kshetra. It was not like we make some bridges over the ocean and we put some, claim the land and then tsunami comes after that. It is forceful grabbing of land from Varuna. But this was Supreme Personality of Godhead, the incarnation of God, himself claiming from Varuna. And then that land, he also donated some of the lands to sadhus, from whom the gotras come, Bharadwaja, Chandilya, and Kamsa, and all these gotras are there. So there, those rishis, he donated a lot of land of that. And he is himself stayed on Mahindra Parvat, and he is still living over there. And he blessed those sadhus that this land claimed from the ocean by me, by my Parshu, will be always filled with grains, fruits, flowers, greenery, whatever you need to sustain your life will be in abundance over here. That is why from Gokarna to Kanyakumari, if you go by bus or a train, every 15 minutes one huge river comes. Such a huge river, it looks like ocean only. And filled with trillions of coconut trees and banana trees, and you can just go on naming what is not available there. It's called a land of God actually, especially Kerala. So everywhere from Gokarna onward, Madgaon onward, if you see down till Kanyakumari, it's just green and green and green. Anytime you land up by flight to Cochin or something, or any place, it's just mountains filled with trillions upon trillions of coconut trees and greenery, as if it is raining just now. In the middle of winter also you go, it's just green like rainy season in Bombay. All that benediction was given by Parshuramji, that you will never have any scarcity in this place to survive. So you all will be able to perform very wonderful bhajan. You will have no anxiety because this place is an abundance of wealth and opulence. So you live here nicely, and I give you a mantra. And whenever you have difficulty, the rule is you have to come together. Number one, you have to have difficulty. Number two, you have to come together. Number three, you have to chant this mantra. Then I will appear and instantly solve your misery, whatever you have. So many years passed and they were living very happily. There were 10 rishis actually, were living very happily, performing tapasya. And then one day they became very curious. Oh, what about the mantra? What happened to the mantra? We have not used the mantra. Let us try and see the potency of the mantra, the way Kunti had the curiosity. So they all came together and they chanted the mantra, and there came Parshuram. As soon as he appeared, they all became very scared, There is no misery, there is no problem actually. We have invoked his presence. He asking, yes, what is the problem? So they said, we are very sorry, Parshuramji Maharaj, please forgive us. There is no misery, there is no problem. We have just, out of curiosity, chanted the mantra. He became very angry. He said, I curse you. You will lose your unity among yourself. And today, if somebody tells you, you lose among yourself unity, who cares, Anybody, nobody has unity. So what is the question of losing unity? Nobody will mind this kind of curse today. Somebody says, yes, who? But for sadhus who are living harmoniously together for so many years, performing the sadhana, worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead, for them losing unity was a great disaster. They all started crying and they fell at the feet of Parshuramji Maharaj and they said, please forgive us. We were fools, like children, we were curious, we didn't have faith in your word. So then he said, okay, I am pleased with your attitude of begging forgiveness. Paschatap kind of mood that you have, repentance, I am very much grateful, thankful. So in the forthcoming season of greens, when it will rain. If you worship Supreme Personality of Godhead with fresh flowers and fruits, then your curse will be taken away from you. And that is called as Onam. Onam season is 10 days of worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead with fresh flowers and fruits and everything. And at the end of the 10th day, the Supreme Lord becomes very pleased and they are free from that karma. So abundance still remained of all the wealth. Today also there may be drought in Rajasthan and UP and other places, but South India, any time you go, any time, is all green and flowers and fruits and bananas, coconuts and everything is there. Intelligent people, happy people, healthy people, fresh air, oceans, rivers, whatever you want to live is always there. So this Udupi comes in that belt. You know, Karnataka coastal area, Kerala, most of the coastal area, then Tamil Nadu, Kanyakumari area is full Parashuram Kshetra. It's a blessed land. And in that land, Madhvacharya appeared. That's another thing to understand. It is very beautifully explained that there was a time in Kali Yuga, after Krishna's departure, that Buddhists and Mayavadis just took over the world actually. The way they were preaching, everybody was simply believing that Lord is either the world is void, everything is void, there is no Lord, everything is zero, or they are thinking we should merge in the Lord. Lord has no hands, Lord has no ears, Lord has no tongue, Lord has no eyes, no nose, no hands and legs. It's like, you know, such a ridiculous description. You have everything that you are very proud of, hands, legs and nose and eyes, and your Lord who has created you, he is deaf, he is dumb, he is blind, he is not able to, he is having olfactory problems, he can't smell anything, he can't walk, he cannot use his hands, he doesn't have fingers. Such a insulting description it is actually. So at that time, demigods were very worried and they went to Brahma and they went to Vishnu and they said that the world in Kali Yuga is haunted by Shunyavadis and Nirvisheshavadis. So the Lord said that my scheduled incarnation is not there now. I'm not supposed to come. Already Buddha has appeared and I'm supposed to come in the end of Kali Yuga. It is almost over 4 lakh, maybe 30,000 years remaining. So he was, it is explained that he was gazing at all the demigods with great love and affection. And his sight settled on Vayudev. And he looked at him with great love. And he said, Vayudev, you will have to go down and take incarnation and destroy all these impersonal and Shunyavadis and establish Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person and establish pure devotional service for Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Vayudev was very happy that Lord chose him, and through the instruction also came empowerment, and Vayudev got ready to go. Down here on the earth, a long story, very beautiful story, that in Udupi Kshetra there was something called as Raupya Peetham. There was a king who was Rama Bhoja, who was a disciple, devotee of Parshuram Bhagwan, and on behalf of Parshuram he was ruling the whole place, and he was ordered by Parshuram to perform Ashwamedha Yajna. And while he was ploughing the field for doing Ashwamedha Yajna, in his plough got stuck a snake and he got killed. But the snake was a demon, but still it was a snake. So Parshuram said, you have to atone for it. What you have to do is you have to make a silver pedestal. On that silver pedestal you put 4 snakes on 4 directions and give them milk and worship them. And then he told a story, Parshuramji, to that king, that in my incarnation as Parshuram, I learned archery from Lord Shiva. It's all Leela of the Lord. Lord doesn't have to learn anything. But he learned archery from Shiva, and in turn Lord Shiva told him that you please appear as Linga. I appear as Linga everywhere. Please at least one place you appear as Linga. So Parshuram said, I promised Lord Shiva that I will become Linga. So Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appeared there as Linga. But actually he is not Shiva. He is Ananta Padmanabha. He is also called as Ananteshwara. He is also called as Ananta Asana, Ananta Shayana, Ananta Padmanabha, all these names. So Ananta also is there in the form of snakes, and Lord also is there sitting on that, but in the form of Linga. And that place, Agnihotra was performed by Ram Bhoja, great sacrifice was performed successfully. And that is the place where Chandra, who was cursed by Daksha one time because of the insult that he did, he was cursed actually to receive Raja Yakshma. Raja Yakshma means TB. No? Very dreadful form of tuberculosis. And at that time, Chandra came to that place near Raupya Pita, that is silver pedestal. And that is why it is called as Udupi. Udupi means the king of stars. Udu means stars and P means king. So Udupi, the name came because Chandra came there and performed tapasya. And actually performed tapasya and pleased Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva saved Chandra from the curse. The effect of curse was that full moon will become smaller, smaller, smaller and it will disappear. That was the curse of Lord Daksha, the Prajapati. Anyway, that thing remained, the bright fortnight and the dark fortnight that remained. But Chandra was freed from the curse of that dreadful disease. So that Lord Shiva is called as Chandra Moleshwara. That is also there, exactly there, near Ananteshwara. So you have Ananteshwara temple and just next to that is Chandra Moleshwara temple. So to this Ananteshwara temple, when this Vayudev decided to go down, Makar Sankranti was going on. So there was a lot of celebration going on. Before that, what happened was, the king of Udupi, the next king, Kadamba, he wanted to bring some Brahmins because Kashyapa Muni came to Udupi one day. So Kadamba, King Kadamba, son of Rambhoja, wanted to receive him and take care of him and request him to stay here. But Kadamba said, "Your kingdom doesn't have good Brahmins, so I will not stay here." So then this Kadamba became very upset and he went and brought a lot of Brahmins from various other places, called countries in those days, you know, provinces. And many of the Brahmins from various castes, they came and stayed in a 50 kilometers radius area. And one of the castes of Brahmins were Shivalli Brahmins. Shivalli Brahmin means they were Vaishnavites. They were believers of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they would worship Lord Shiva at the same time as a Vaishnava, not as a demigod to fulfill their material desires, but to worship them, Lord Shiva. So one of the Shivalli Brahmins was Madhyagriha Bhatta family. In Madhyagriha Bhatta families, Narayan Bhatta appeared. And Narayan Bhatta and his wife Vedavati, they were actually too much disturbed because of the situations around, where so many people, Mayavadis and Shunyavadis, and propagating very strongly, going and travelling and preaching and making devotees into Mayavadis, you know, by influencing them by their preaching process. But they were still staunch Vaishnavites and they would come to Ananteshwara. And that day, Makar Sankranti, there was a big gathering of devotees, and even Madhyagriha Bhatta, that is Narayan Bhatta, Madhyagriha Narayan Bhatta and his wife Vedavati, they also were there. And suddenly in the whole gathering, one person started behaving very odd, mad-like person. He climbed the flagpole, no? Dvajastambha. He climbed up and he started doing weird actions, talking something weirdly, acting something weirdly to attract everyone's attention. So they all felt he is a madman and he's going to do something nonsense on the flagpole. But suddenly when he enough attended and took, no, and attracted everybody's attention, he became very serious. His whole demeanor changed. He became very serious and very appeared like a grave personality. And he said, "Very soon the incarnation of Vayu is going to appear and is going to destroy the impersonalist and voidist and is going to establish Supreme Personality of Godhead as a personality and establish bhakti." And suddenly got down and disappeared in the crowd. No one could trace him out afterwards. And Madhyagriha and his wife was watching. Little they knew that they were going to play part in that whole Akashvani, I mean whatever he had to proclaim there. They went home, they had one daughter and two sons, and they were living in one village called Kudivali. Today it is called as Kadpadi in that place. In that place they were living. From there they lost their two sons in disease. The two sons died, only one daughter remained. So out of very agony and sorrow they went to the village called Pajaka, where today we call Pajaka Kshetra. And then from there, they started worshipping the Lord that we want a son to continue our progeny. So they decided that they'll bring only milk and they'll walk barefoot and come and worship all the way, 12 kilometers walking from Pajaka Kshetra, worship Ananteshwara, Ananta Shayana, Ananta Padmanabha. Every full day they will worship. Every day they will walk up and down and worship full day. 12 years they performed like that. And right time came, they realized that now they should conceive. And it is explained that when they came together, Vayudev entered in her womb. And that's how the pregnancy was conceived. So many years passed because of tapasya. And third month sanskar was done, seventh month sanskar was done, and very uniquely, Vedavati was extremely hungry and hungry and hungry. Because Vayudev's first son is Hanuman, second incarnation is Bhimsen, and third one is, Vayudev was there in the womb of Vedavati. And soon, on the day of Vijayadashmi, beautiful effulgent son was born. It was very, very powerful looking, very shining, and very strong arms right from birth. And the unique feature was, when Jata Sanskar was done, the Purohit sat down, everybody sat down, and Purohit described the full glories of this boy, what he will do. That he will be very strong in physique and strength, he will be very strong in his preachings and knowledge, he will defeat all the Mayavadis, he will travel all directions and destroy all the impersonalists and voidists, bring down to pieces, he will establish the supreme personality of Godhead, and he will give everyone bhakti. And at the same time, he will be a voracious eater also. So they were very, very happy to hear. And a unique feature of Madhvacharya was that when he was a baby, you know, all of you mothers must be feeding the babies every 3 hours or 2 hours. Baby will not cry after at least two hours when it's full stomach. But with full efforts of feeding, still even one time when she was attempting to feed, she would empty her breast out, but she will be still crying. And within 15-20 minutes, again he will cry. And that day she was too much exhausted, full day, 24 hours continuously feeding the baby. And Madhvacharya would, that baby Vasudeva was named as Vasudev, was never satisfied. And thus 6 months passed, round the clock, only feeding. And one day at the end of 6 months, Vedavati just had to go a little bit out. She would not even, was able to leave the baby, because as soon as she would feed, within few minutes she would cry again. So she would never be able to leave the baby. That day she had to go out. She told one that one sister was remaining after two sons' death. She told him that, told her that, please take care of your younger brother. I'm just coming from outside. And as soon as she went, he started crying. And the poor girl, she didn't know what to do. She was just trying to pacify him, trying to sing songs, trying to pat him, but he was crying. And she would just run to the door to see whether mother is coming from distance or not. Again she would come, again pat the baby, again crying. And suddenly she thought, what to do now? Mother is not coming and I am not able to feed the baby. Baby is hungry. Maybe he is hungry. So what she did, there was a big bag of raw grains which they would feed cows. So she just made a hole in that gunny sack and few grains she dropped in the mouth of this child. And the child immediately gulped it nicely. And he stopped crying also. So the sister thought, oh good, he was hungry, so I fed him some grains and very happy. So she went to play. And child stopped crying. After a long time, mother came back. She was searching for the son. She couldn't find her son. So she called her daughter, where is Vasudev? She said, I left him here only, he is not there. So she found Vasudev inside the gunny sack. And Vasudev had eaten 40 kilos of grains. Peacefully eating the last few grains there. And that was the very wonderful Annaprashan ceremony, self-imposed by Vasudeva. So you can imagine what kind of personality he was. He ate 40 kilos of grains and he was peacefully inside the gunny sack. You know, they were searching where he was. They could never imagine that he could be inside the gunny sack. And that is how Vasudeva's Annaprashana ceremony was done. And then he grew up and he would go to one place. I forgot to mention to you, Vasudeva and Parshuram was he established his kshetra and donated the cow, the land to the Brahmins, and he established Yogamaya temple on one mountain called Vimanagiri or Kunjaragiri, and that was Yogamaya personified, and he established her there, and he established 4 kundas, one called as Parshu Kunda, one called as Gada Kunda, one called as Bana Kunda, and one called as Dhanush Kunda. And he declared that whoever will take bath in these 4 kundas will not take birth again, he will get moksha. So, that whole thing was near Pajaka Kshetra. and where Madhvacharya, that is Vasudev, took birth was at the foothill of the village of the mountain called Kunjaragiri. And as a child, Vasudev would always climb the mountain and sit there in temple for long hours. And they would all understand that he is having some leela with the Devi. He had some, like mother, he would sit with her and have pastimes. At the age of 3 years, they went to one marriage, you know. And he was absolutely not interested in marriage or this kind of worldly ceremony. So all the mother and father were busy talking to people, and he just left from that place. He went to close by temple, and he sat there for a long time offering wonderful prayers, and the pujaris were surprised. How a small boy of 3 years can offer such eloquent prayers with such determination, such concentration and such devotion. And then he left from there, and he went all the way walking from there 12 kilometers to Ananteshwara, alone. And there he offered wonderful prayers. Even those pujaris were surprised. And they asked him, how have you come alone? Where is your mother? Where is your father? He said, they are in the marriage. They will come. And very soon, after a few minutes, when they realized that Vasudeva was not there, they started searching very frantically everywhere. And they went to everywhere. They couldn't find him. Finally, they came searching to Ananteshwara. And there he was sitting. They had left in the morning, and evening they found him. He was sitting alone, nicely worshipping Ananteshwara. And they asked him, how did you come here? He said, Lord Narayan took me to Vishnu's temple first, and from there Lord Hari took me to the Ananteshwara's temple. So I am worshipping him now. At that time, when they came to Ananteshwara Mandir, they remembered that that flagpole man had said something. And I forgot to mention to you, when Madhva Vasudev was born, the demigods played drums, tundubis, in the sky and showered flowers. Also, when they had Jata Sanskar, again demigod showered flowers. And third time when he was given sannyas, that time also demigod showered flowers in the sky. And then his Vidyarambha Sanskar was done. His father took him to a Tulsi Vrindavan in his house and put rice in the plate and made him write the first alphabet in Sanskrit Om. And then whatever was taught, amazingly and surprisingly, he picked up in few seconds, on the first day only. He was amazingly intelligent child, even before Vidyarambha also. And whatever whole day was taught, he was picked up immediately. And then he was put into Gurukula. And Gurukula, there was a guru who was supposed to teach him for 12 years. And he would be so hungry that every half an hour he'd walk back to school, from home, school to home, eat and come back. Today, if you said Gopal Garden, your son, you know, and every half an hour he comes to Mira Road, and again he goes back. They will not keep him in the child of school. So similarly, the teacher was also upset, you know, that, yeah, what are you doing? I teach something and you learn, and suddenly you go away. You must be missing all those things. You will not learn those things. He said, what all you have taught? So he said, tell me, what have you learned? So he quoted shlokas so eloquently and so distinctly and so clearly. Whatever was taught to him when he was present, whatever he taught to other students when he was not present, and much, much more than that, he recited in pristine language. He said, how have you learned all these things? He said, from previous lifetimes I learned. One time this guru's son had headache. So he blew air in the ear of his guru's son, and his headache was relieved. Because he's Vayu's son. So anything he could do with Vayu. So he blew some Vayu in his ear, and headache was finished. And not only that, his headache was finished, he could see his previous lifetimes by one blow of air in the ear. At the end of 12 years, when he learned all the shastras, he had a time to get out of the school, and Dakshina was supposed to be given. So Guru said, I don't want anything. I know you are the incarnation of God. Please give me love and devotion to God. So Prema Bhakti was the Dakshina that he gave to his Guru. And he left Gurukul. Till that time he was very naughty. And I forgot to mention to you, after Vidyarambha, there was Brahmin initiation. At the age of 8, one is supposed to have Brahmin Diksha. But looking at his speed of knowledge that he was acquiring, at the age of 5 only, there was Brahmin Diksha. And again, demigods showered flowers. And he was named as Ananda Tirtha during that time. Immediately after Brahmin Diksha, he was again going to school. I mean, from there it started 12 years of education. He was going to school, Suddenly a five-hooded snake came and hid himself in the bushes. He was supposed to be Manimana. Manimana was the snake which Bhima had killed during Mahabharata war. He was very envious of Bhimsen. So again incarnated as snake and came, and when the children were going along with Vasudeva, Anand Tirtha jumped on them from behind and bit Anand Tirtha, Vasudeva. But what Vasudeva did was he just stood up and took the snake under his feet, and with only one toe he smashed the demon in a stone, and he put the snake inside the stone. I mean, he just crushed him and pushed him and killed him. By this time long time went because of the battle was going on, and finally he killed him. There's a place there under Kunjaragiri, a small temple is built up, and there's a place where he, by one big toe, he crushed that snake's head into the stone. Long time went, and here mother was calling, Vasudeva, Vasudeva, please come, where are you, where are you? Generally he would come immediately, and this time she called and called and called. He was very busy. So finally when he killed him, he heard the call. So then he understood by the from the call, type of call, that she must be calling for a long time. That's why she is desperate now. So there are 2 kilometers distance from that place to home. So what did he do? He just jumped from that place, straight in front of his mother. there are footprints there, where actually he jumped and came in front of his mother. He said, why are you calling me? He said, I just killed that snake who was disturbing me on the way, so I killed him. So then, after a few days, she wanted to go out, and you know, in those days, mothers would have pots underground. Even you could go and stand inside, 6 feet man, even it will be bigger and taller than that also. Such kind of, even Mother Yashoda had such kind of pots in Nandagaon. There is one remaining now, she had many, but one is still there near Nandagaon mountain. So she filled it with dahi and yogurt and everything and butter, and she told him that, you know, just stand here to guard, because some monkeys or some cats will come and maybe eat that. You stand here, I'll go and come back. So this boy was so chanchala, you know, how can he stand one place like a guard? So he just picked up 2 huge stones, shilas, and just put on the pots, and he went to play. The mother came back, she saw, such huge stone slabs, who has put them? So he came, I put them. How do you lift it? So with my hands I lift it. So powerful. And one time he was always every few minutes he would ask food from his mother and father, either mother or father. So one time from his father he asked food. The father said, no, right now I can't give food to you, I am much disturbed now, because I have just bought a bull and I have taken loan to buy the bull from one merchant, and that merchant is standing in front of the door and he is on hunger strike till I pay the debt to him. So right now I cannot feed you, I have to sort this problem out, because he says I will not leave your home and your what do you call it? That separates your house from outside? A chowkhat. Huh? I'll sit here and I'll fast till you give me my money back. And I don't have any money. So Vasudeva said, don't worry, father, I will pay him. So he said, he's just, you know, playful child, what he is going to pay. So he just went and tricked that man to come, I will pay you. Don't worry, father doesn't have money, I'll pay you. So he took him to the Imli tree and he climbed up Imli tree. And he picked up some imli and took out the seeds of that. And he said, hold your hand. And he threw the imli seeds in his hand. And they became gold coins. And they filled his hand. Much, much more than the cost of the bull. And he became so happy. He didn't even meet Madhya Kinga Bhatta, Narayan Bhatta. He just left from there. He was so happy to get overpaid. You know. And again after 2 days he came back again. With some reasons for some other debt, you know. And that time he did not get gold coins. He got love of Godhead as a gift from Vasudeva. So this is one of the miracles he did. Another time he took up one branch of the tree and plucked in the ground, and up came a tree, beautiful tree in front of his eyes. You know, everybody was watching that. The tree also still there. That even Imli tree is still there from where he made gold coins. And another time his mother told him that I'm an old lady, there's already 2 sons, 1 daughter was born, 2 sons died, some period went in that, then 12 years of tapasya, then Madhvacharya, Vasudeva was born, and few years his lifetime, and then she became old. So she said that I heard that these four kundas are very precious and if you take bath in that, you will get moksha. But I'm an old lady, how will I go to the stony mountains and climb them and there are kundas there, tirthas there. So he dug a kunda in the house only. And he made a beautiful kund for mother and he told, if you take bath in this kunda, you will get benefit of taking bath in all the four kundas. And also you will achieve moksha. That kunda is in the house also, very beautiful kunda. And then he became a young boy, he became very serious. His knowledge was superfluous, so he was called as Purna Prandya at that time. So he decided that now time has come, I must go on my mission. So went aloof one day and meditated upon the mission of his life and decided that the only way I can do this is I can take sannyas and then I will be able to fulfill my mission. So he came home and told his father and mother that I want to take sannyas because my life's mission is to preach the personality of Godhead, establish. So father was very angry, very upset, very sorry to hear that. He said, no, I will not do this. He said, no, I will not be able to stay at home. I have to go and preach. And then this time he agreed. He didn't go immediately. And then every day discussion was taking place and he came to know one great sannyasi who is very effulgent and very devout devotee of the Lord is staying very close by. His name is Achyuta Preksha. And he started associating with him. And one day, every day his father would be worried and he would go and visit that ashram where his son would go every day and spend hours and hours together. All his playful pastimes, everything was finished. And one day he saw his son cutting the white cloth into two pieces, tying one around the waist and using another as kopin. And this is the activity of a sannyasi. Cutting a white cloth or a colored cloth, yellow or saffron, and tying one around waist and one as the underwear. So he realized that my son is preparing very seriously for sannyas. So he persuaded Achyuta Preksha, please do not take this son close to you. He is my son. I am looking for a young girl to get him married. And he is associating with you. How will I get a daughter-in-law? How will I be looked after? Who will look after me? I have lost my two sons. This is the only son I have got. He said, I love your son. But coming to me or not coming to me, it is his choice. So again there was an argument with father and son. So he said, father, I promise you, I will not go unless you get another son. He was very old by that time. Just by the word of Madhvacharya, very soon Vedavati conceived another boy. And a son was born. At that time, he couldn't refuse. And another story I read before, that at a very opportune time, he went to take bath in the sea. And then crocodile came. He started swallowing him up. And Madhyakiya Narayan Bhatta came running and said, my son, you're dying. He said, you tell me that I can take sannyas, then this crocodile will leave me. He said, what kind of statement is this? You're dying and you're saying, you want to take sannyas, you'll not live to take sannyas, this crocodile will eat you up. He said, no, if you promise in front of the crocodile that you will allow me to take sannyas, the crocodile will leave me. He said, yes, whatever you say, you take sannyas, but you leave. And crocodile left him and went away. It was all his plan actually. He tricked the crocodile. He guided the crocodile. Crocodile came and followed the instructions of Vasudeva, Ananda Tirtha. And he was trained, whenever, as soon as my father says this, you leave me and go. One time in the argument, there was so much argument that yes, no, sannyas. So father became very helpless and father bowed down to Vasudeva and please don't take sannyas. He said, see, in the only one condition, the father bows down to his son when he is a sannyasi. So determined, finally with the crocodile story, he accepted it and Achyuta Preksha gave him sannyas. And that time his name was Purna Pragyatirtha actually. As Purna Pragyatirtha, he defeated so many, there's a detailed descriptions how he defeated Mayavadis and Buddhivadis, Buddhist people. There was one Vidyasingha, who was the biggest Mayavadi, and there was one Buddhisagar, who was the biggest Buddhist, voidist. And they had debate over days and days and days. And it explained that There are many debates explained, but these two persons' debate was like famous debate. But they were like Digvijayas, you know. They had gone in all directions and conquered all the other Mayavadis and became, they have become Digvijayas. And they were going everywhere and challenging. They were so proud actually. So, the king called Madhvacharya, that is Purna Prajna, and also called his two, and there was a big debate. It went on for many days, and finally at the end of 12 days, he smashed these two people to pieces completely. And at the time of obvious humiliating defeat, he was only a few years boy, you know, hardly young boy he was. And they were all elderly, bearded, elderly men actually, very old people. So it was too humiliating for them to get defeated by a young boy. So they said, the further discussion we'll do tomorrow. And they, you know, bought time and they went away. So tomorrow we will come back and discuss on this point again. And then tomorrow came and Purna Prajna was there. And they were not there. They went to search in the quarters. They had fled in the night only. They just couldn't imagine to be defeated black and white in front of the young boy in the assembly. And that's how many people who were followers of those two people, they became followers of Madhvacharya. And there were so many miracles. There was a tour that he arranged. One time, he told Achyuta Preksha Maharaj, his Gurudev, Sannyas Guru, that I want to take bath in Ganga. So Achyuta Preksha was very attached to this Purna Prajna. So he said, yes, you can go. But as soon as he realized that he has given permission, that means my dear Purna Prajna will go to Himalayas on north side. There is no Ganga in South India. That means he will go for long distance, long time, he will come after long time. How will I be able to live without him being present with me? In separation, how will I live? So I started praying to Mother Ganga. Mother Ganga, I have given him permission to go and take bath in your waters, but I don't know how will I survive without his presence. Please do something. Suddenly Mother Ganga appeared on crocodile in Udupi and flooded one place near Chandra Moleshwara and filled it with water. In front of everybody's eyes, Mother Ganga appeared in crocodile and filled, and that is called as Madhva Sarovara. And then Achyut Preksha told Purna Prajna that why you have to go now? You can take bath here only. So he took bath there. That kunda is just next to Chandra Moleshwara temple and current Udupi temple also. And once in 12 years it floods, overflows with water. So once in 12 years Mother Ganga enters again. It is called as Papanashini also. And so many rituals of Udupi Krishna are performed in this Madhva Sarovar. Without taking bath in Madhva Sarovar, the current Acharya doesn't start his worship. 3 times in a day he takes bath along with his followers. Early morning, Madhyana and Sandhya. 3 times. Only they, and that whole kunda is very beautifully decorated with a mantapa in between, the bridge is there. Bhagirathi sitting on crocodile murti is there. Channa Keshava murti deity is there on the way to temple. Like that. And many years after sannyas, one day Madhvacharya was roaming on the ocean, that is today's Malpe beach, and he was composing beautiful songs in the praise of the Lord, and he had composed very beautiful 2 sets of prayers. At that time he got some intuition that something great is going to happen, and suddenly a storm came out of nowhere, out of no season. A huge storm came. And he saw in distance in the ocean that the storm was, you know, like revolving, like Trinavarta. It's called cyclone. And he saw a boat inside the cyclone just getting haywire everywhere, just going here and there, out of control. And people were shouting and crying for help. And what Madhva did? He had a sannyas danda and he had a yellow cloth. So he tied the yellow cloth to sannyas danda and he waved that cloth. By that, what he did? He controlled the wind and changed the direction of the wind. And when the direction of wind was changed, he sucked air, he breathed in. And with that breathe in, the boat was sucked to the ocean, to the bank of the ocean. And then the fellow came to know, because there was some man who was waving and the direction of wind was changing. So he realized, because of this sadhu, we were saved. And he had 35 men with him at that time, disciples, who also watched this beautiful miracle. And the merchant came and said, whatever is there on the boat, please take it as yours. So Madhva said, I am a sadhu. I am not interested in your wealth, whatever you have on the boat. So he asked, where are you coming from? The merchant said, I came from Dwarka. So he said, do you have some chandan with you? Yeah, yeah, I have a big log of chandan as a ballast. Ballast means, you know, to balance. There's a big boulder-like thing is there. I want that. So immediately offer that to him. The small story I will tell you, what was the boulder all about? The story goes back to Dwapar Yuga when Krishna was present. I'll tell you the story in short because time is running up. The story goes like this, that Devaki was unable to be with Krishna as baby. She only could feed Krishna once before she left him. I mean, gave him to Vasudev to send him back to Gokul. And 10 years, over 12 years he stayed there, I think. And then at the time of age of 12, I think it is 10 years and 4 months, he went and killed Kamsa. And that time he met Vasudev again and Devaki, and he fell at their feet and told him that, now that you have, I have come to you, you are my mother and father, whatever you say I will accept. And when he said that, Nanda Maharaj also hearing that, Nanda Maharaj just fainted and collapsed because he couldn't bear that thought that as he is saying this, whatever you say I will do, they will say that you stay with us. That means we will be in separation, I have to go back alone to Nandagaon to face Yashoda. So he fainted. But what could he do against the desire of the Lord? Whatever Lord desired, his dear Kanha desired, that was everything for him. So he accepted that truth and he went back. And Krishna stayed with Devaki and Vasudev. And then with him, even Rohini had come at that time for the Dhanur Yajna. So Rohini also stayed back because at the time when Kamsa was killed, you know, she had to be united back with her husband Vasudev. So she stayed back. And Nanda Maharaj went back with the cowherd boys back to Nandagaon. So Rohini went back. And Devaki also, they were together. After some time, there were wars with Jarasandha, and then Krishna felt Mathura had become too insecure. So he left from there with all his Yadavas and established kingdom in Dwarka. And then everybody moved in Dwarka. Then he got married with first 8 queens. And then when Jarasandha was killed, he had to marry with 16,100 queens. So there were 16108 queens and palaces. Now all these queens and Devaki were always wondering how it must have been when Krishna was a small child. And Devaki would always express to Krishna that please show me your beautiful childhood form. So one day, suddenly Krishna became a small boy. Because when he was in Dwarka, married with 16108 queens, he was a young man. Very beautiful, handsome king of Dwarka. Suddenly he became a small baby, like in Mathura, like in Nandagaon and in Vrindavan. And he had a lump of butter on his hand, and he had a big mathani, that is a churning rod, and some rope in hand. And with that sweet form, he appeared in front of Devaki, and Devaki fainted, and she was, you know, milk was flowing like rivers on her breast. And overwhelmed with vatsalya, she felt unconscious. And hidingly, Rukmini was watching, and she also fell in love with this form of Krishna as a baby. And then she met her husband Krishna and insisted him that I want a deity of yours in that particular form. He says Krishna performed long time pastimes with Devaki. He entered in her lap, he sucked her breast, and he made her churn. You know, she went into Braj mood, Devaki, and she was churning butter. That would not happen in Dwarka otherwise, but to give that mood and the experience of that Vatsalya Bhav which happened in Braj Bhumi, he made her churn the buttermilk. Then he became angry, he took out the churning rod and hit the pot, and the pot flew with buttermilk on the ground, and Krishna walked in the buttermilk and ate all the butter, fed the monkeys. Everything happened as it happened with Yashoda. And that was watched by Rukmini Devi. And then Krishna disappeared. And Rukmini met Krishna and demanded that I must have your baby form as deity. So Krishna called Vishwakarma and he summoned that you please go to Pashupatinath in Gandaki river and bring 2 huge Shaligram Shilas. So he brought, and then under guidance of Krishna, Vishwakarma made these 2 deities. One is Krishna and one Balram. One had a rod of churning on right side, and left hand was having butter and the rope. And another had the churning rod on left hand, and right hand had the rope and the butter. Two murtis were made. And these two murtis were worshipped by Rukmini. Although she served Krishna in life as husband, but she worshipped these deities as her worshipable deities throughout her life. And then Krishna disappeared, and he had told Parikshit and Vajranam that take all my queens to Vrindavan, and then Jamuna will guide them, and then they will take them to Uddhava, and Uddhava will deliver them. It's a long story. We will go to Kusum Sarovar sometime and discuss the story. But anyways, when she left, Rukmini left, the deities were left there, and they were by the mystic arrangement of the Lord, the two deities were covered in one big lump of Gopichandana. There is a Gopitalav in Dwarka. So by the divine arrangement of the Lord, these two deities were covered with one lump of Gopichandana, and they just remained there. Dwapar Yuga passed away, and Kali Yuga, 4,339 years passed away, and his merchant was about to start his boat. Then he picked up this big ballast, big Chandan log, and put it in his boat to balance the boat. So this is a flashback. Madhvacharya asked, from where you have come? So he said, I am coming from Dwarka. See, I want that log. So as soon as the merchant said, yes, yes, please take it. His 35 disciples went on the boat, and with all their might they wanted to lift that log, but they couldn't just lift that log. Then Madhvacharya went, and with one hand just lifted that log and started walking. And as soon as he walked few yards, a part of the log fell down from his hand, mystically. It slid open, and from there Balaramji's murti appeared. And then murti spoke to Madhvacharya, please install me here only, don't take me from here away. I want to be at the ocean of bank of the ocean only. And that place where he procured that wood, the Chandan log, is called as Udapandi in Tulu language. Udapandi means where the boat came. That is the meaning of that word, Udapandi. And that Balaramji was installed there only, and he was named as Vadabandeshwara. So Balaramji is standing there. With left hand side there is a churning rod, right hand filled with butter, and with the rope in the hand. And then Madhvacharya, remaining the remaining log he carried all the way, he went to Madhva Sarovara, where the already Sarovara was there. No temple was there. Chandramaleshwar was there, Ananteshwar was there. And he put that log in the water, and whole the Chandan melted, and a beautiful murti of Krishna appeared from that. Then he established there. And it is explained that he established Krishna in the temple which is smaller than the temples of Chandramaleshwara and Ananteshwara. When they were ancient temples, right from times of Parshurama. So he didn't want to minimize the value of these two temples and their glory in front of his temple. So he made a small temple, and to only get chosen crowds, he made darshan through window. Small darshan he made. Navagraha Kindi, he is called as. There are nine different, the way it is, that you get nine holes, square holes, through which you have to see the Lord. Navagraha Kindi, it is called as. And then it is said that Madhvacharya elaborately designed the worship of the deity. Early morning, 3 o'clock, he would get up and take bath, and he would do Nirmalya Visarjana. Yesterday's dressings and clothing and the flowers and the whatever offering was there, they would remove. Then there would be so many pujas were explained. There are 16 pujas he designed, and most of them would take place before 7 o'clock in the morning. When he was establishing the deity of Krishna, 4 Kumaras came to him, Sanat, Sanatan, Sanandan and Sanat Kumar. And they told him that we also want to worship that form which was worshipped by Rukmini Devi. So please give us a chance. So at the time of Alankara Puja is what we do as Shringar Darshan. Madhvacharya would go out of the temple, and half an hour temple would be closed, and that time 4 Kumaras would go inside and privately they worship the deity at that time. So exactly at 7 to 7.30, when today temple is closed, darshan is closed, when the pujari, the purohit, that is the current Swamiji who has the right for dressing the deities, he also goes out. At that time the Sanat Kumaras are supposed to be worshipping the Lord, and then 7.30 the Alankar darshan is there. It is explained that the worship that Madhvacharya established was in Vatsalya Bhav. He would sing songs of lullaby in the evening. He would stole the Lord in the cradle, you know, and swing him, singing beautiful songs of sleeping. And twice he would swing him, feed him and swing him, and feed him and swinging. And finally he would do Ratri Puja. After the closure of the temple, inside he will worship the Lord, sing songs and put the Lord to rest. At 7:30 he will have Chamar Puja. Today also everything goes on what he has established. And then Vadiraja Swami got Mukhya Prana and Garuda from Dwarka, which they also worshipped. Mukhya Prana is Hanumanji himself. So like that, Madhvacharya established the worship of deity in Vatsalya Bhav. So every day there would be an inspiration in the heart of Madhvacharya. And he would dress the Lord in different form. One day he would feel like becoming Rukmini waiting for Swayamvara. So Krishna would become Rukmini, waiting like this, dressed up like a queen and a bride about to get married and waiting for Krishna. One day he would become Gitopadesh. His mood will come as Gitopadesh. So they will make him stand in the chariot, and there will be Arjuna behind of golden idol, and Krishna will be like this, telling Arjuna. And you know, they don't make him Varaha or Narsingha, because wherever the face has to be changed, that form they don't dress him as. Because even while being dressed as Gitopadesham and Kurma and Varaha and Matsya and so many other forms he would take, he would be constantly eating butter. Today also when you see, when you have his darshan, he would be having on Friday Devi form. But there will be butter on his lips, you know. You have to keep licking the butter. You know, the example we give, that when children have fancy dress competition and they become Ravan, you know, and they become Hanuman, but still they have a bag of chips in their hands, and they'll keep eating chips, you know, in between. And they'll keep sucking lollipops in between. And you'll find Ravan and Ram with big bow and arrow and one lollipop in hand, and they're sucking, you know. So like that, Krishna also will become Devi. He'll become Lakshmi or Durga or Chandi or Kali or Saraswati or Sharada or Chandika. But there will be butter on the mouth, and he will keep licking butter while he is acting as Saraswati. As Gajalakshmi, he will stand like this, and there will be butter in the mouth, he will be licking. Constantly they will keep putting the butter and removing the butter. And very beautifully in front of people, they will bathe the deities with bananas, with khadi shakkar, and with dry fruits, and with coconut water, and with milk, and dahi, and ghee in front of everybody. And it glows again, open again. And you know, hundreds of aartis. I don't know how many aartis are supplied, how many aartis keep moving on the rod. And very beautifully, all the devotees can see darshan of the Lord. But in the end, in Vatsalya Bhav, they will dress the deity. And there is no ornament which is nakli in the temple. Every ornament is gold and diamond. Whatever they have, all monies and all earrings and waist belts and ankle belts and bracelets and armlets, whatever they have, rings, everything is original. And there is one nice godown is there. Even the godown will have all additional hands and legs and, you know, what that mudra called as? What is that mudra called? Abhay mudra. So different hands in Abhay mudra, different hands in Lakshmi mudra, different hands in with a diamond on the hand. All those paraphernalia are there in one storehouse. You're having golden chariot and golden weapons, and when he becomes Balram, there is a hull there. There is a Bansuri when he becomes Krishna, you know, Murli Krishna, like that. Beautiful arrangements. And then there is 3 or 4 Vajra Kavachas nowadays. There is mukut filled with diamonds and dress filled with diamonds. I thought only one was there. I have seen now lately three different Vajra Kavachas on 3 different days, one after another. And in front of our eyes that day on Friday became Devi, so beautiful. Gajalakshmi became, you know, so nice, nicely standing like this and with butter in the mouth, like this. So, unlimited glories of Urpi Krishna, the way his eyes are. In the morning when you go, you see the fresh eyes. And lots of bhoga filled with tokris and filled with matkas will go inside and come out. And lot of bananas and all these dry fruits come out because of the abhishekam. Different abhishek water comes out different times in the morning. And then in the night we go, and there is Chamar Puja. After Chamar Puja, before Shayanarti, Krishna is like this, about to go to sleep, you know. He's standing whole day. His eyes are, you can make out that he is tired, standing whole day. As the baby is in the evening, how the baby is doing? My baby also starts squinting in the night, you know. And she has to sleep. She's very tired. And then the temples are closed, and There is Ratra Shayana Puja is there inside. Very beautiful. So, because of these wonderful pastimes, Udupi has become a very powerful place actually. We went to all the four gundas. Never, in so many years, I had never gone to that place. But this time I determined that we will take devotees there. And amazing those kundas are, you know. They are in the stony mountain. Solid stone is there. One stone is there. It's like almost one stone. It's huge like this. And suddenly you climb the steps on the stone mountain and you will find a Parshu Shepherd Kunda. Very small. Maybe from here to here only one third. That much only. But extremely deep in the mountain. And shape of Parshu is there. Then we go to Ban and the long from here to here one long Kunda is there. It's like Patti only. But it's like pointed in the one end and spread another end. Long but very deep at the same time. There is no ghat, nothing. You can go inside the water and take bath. You will slip and you can never come out. Then there is Gada Kunda, very round shaped Kunda is there. And last is little far away, Dhanush Kunda is there. So all the devotees went there and had beautiful fun and sprinkled water and crystalline, clear, tasty, sweet water is there in that. And you know, it's like a very good excursion it was, very wonderful excursion. And we also saw the Kunda of Mother also. So, like that. Udupi Kshetra is blessed with so many wonderful pastimes of Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya defeated almost everybody in India that time, whoever was Mayavadi and Shunyavadis, and established love of Godhead, Bhakti. It's called Vishishta Dvaita, which he established. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are different, and we will eternally remain different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because we are two, there can be devotion. The relationship of devotion can exist because there are two personalities. There is no question of becoming one. There is no question of having Lord having no ears and hands and legs and other avayavas. The Lord is a person and He has all personality. We are a person, we have a personality. We are Anu, He is Vibhu. And there is a relationship of love and devotion between us and Him. That is what He established. And I forgot to mention to you one thing. When He was bringing Krishna in a lump of Gopichandana back, He composed remaining 10 sets of shlokas. And that is called as Dvadash Sutra. Very nice book, Madhvacharya is available. The 12 sets of shlokas which He composed, very beautifully, lovingly singing, on the way back from Malpe Beach to Udupi. There He established a beautiful temple there. And the story of Kanakadas is there. The Kanakadas was a low caste devotee. So when He came to take darshan of Udupi Krishna, He wanted to come in and the pujari stopped him. Not being Brahmin, they condemned him. So he stood out of the temple near the window and started singing beautiful songs of loving sentiment and calling for the Lord's mercy. And time came for lunch and they offered Rajbhoga to the Lord and they closed the curtain. When they opened the curtain, the Lord had turned 90 degrees towards the window where Kanakadas was offering prayers. So they immediately went out and begged pardon and they requested Him to come inside. Today also, the temple is this way. The Lord is standing this way. And there is the Navagraha Kindi is there. From there, the Kindi which is outside, the window which is outside also is visible. So you can see one window and second Navagraha Kindi and then the Lord is there. And you can see from the even outside window also and inside window also. That is where He gives darshan. The Lord shows that He doesn't care for the caste. Chaturvarnam Maya system, Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Caste and creeds are made by qualities and activities. So then they recognize the devotion and the level of spirituality of Kanakadas. And there is a place called Kanakana Kindi, that is where He was watching Lord through that window. Kanaka's window, Kanakana Kindi. It's a very beautiful place and every day there is Rath Yatra festival Madhvacharya established. Every single day they have a golden chariot made of pure gold, not gold plating. Pure gold chariot, pure silver chariot, Brahmotsava chariot, the biggest of chariot, Garudotsava chariot, where there is a Garud shaped chariot where Lord goes around. Every evening there is chariot, every single day Rath Yatra. And the Utsav Murti goes out and they are dancing and singing beautiful songs, holding fire, torches in their hand, and they come back and then there is Shayan Puja after that. So Madhvacharya established worship of the deity. He initiated 8 sadhus, 8 disciples, Rishikesh Tirtha and Padmanabha Tirtha and Hari Tirtha, like that. And he established the worship of Udbhi Krishna with all 8 of them. I mean, 2 months at a time. And every 2 months they would change and the next Acharya would come. And he established 8 mattas in surrounding area of Udupi, within 30-40 kilometers. You know, Kaniyur Matta, Pejavar Matta, Puttuge Matta, and Shirur Matta, like that. Krishnapur Matta, Sode Matta. And then one great sannyasi came called Vadiraja Swami. And this Vadiraja Swami, his also birth was very unique. I must tell you the story to you. This Vadiraja Swami is from Sode Mutt. And this Sode Mutt is now taking the charge over on January 18th. Sode Mutt is taking over from the previous Mutt, Shirur Mutt. Anyways, Sode Mutt also is called as Sode Vadiraja Mutt because Vadiraja took birth in that particular Mutt. This Vadiraja Swami made this 2 months pariyaya, pariyaya is changing over into 2 years pariyaya. So after Vadiraja was born and raised and he became sannyasi at the age of 12, at the age of 8, he established this 2 month ceremony into 2 years ceremony. So now, after 14 years, the same Swamiji will get his pariyaya service for 2 years. So in 16 years, one set of service will be over. So 2 years they will do, and there will be 14 years gap, and again 2 years they will get service. And he said that if you get 3 services in your life, then how many years have passed? Almost you become young, 20 years old, you become guru, and then another 60-70 years go. So that is considered very auspicious that somebody gets 3 services in one lifetime. So this Vadiraja, it is said that when Vadiraja's mother and father, you know, they wanted to have a child, and the sannyasi that time in Sode Mutt, the Purohit, that is the Acharya, he realized that some great soul is going to take birth in their womb. So he said immediately after going there that you have to give your son to me and dedicate your son to the ashram. So father became very upset. No, 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 we want to have a son. How can we give it to you as sannyasi? We want a son to continue your heritage and look after us in old age. So the Swamiji said, okay, we have one condition. If your son is born inside the house, he is yours. If he is born outside the house, I will take him. So he said, it's very easy. I will keep my wife inside the house only. I will never send her out of the house. So from that day onwards, he said yes to Sadhu. And he specifically took care that she never went out of the house. I mean, she would not deliver in the first month of the pregnancy. But he would not send her only out. So who knows by the Lord's arrangement when she will deliver. So from first month only she was confined in the house only. She would be taken care completely at home. She would be given everything what she wanted. She would be taken care in the house itself. And pregnancy was not even complete. Almost 6-7 months only. You know, I mean, second trimester. One day she was serving her husband. His lunch prasadam. And suddenly, the husband noticed that the cows are eating the field and the crops are being eaten up by cows. And suddenly we got excited. He said, go, go, save the crop. The cows are eating the crop. So she also instantly went out of the house to shoo the cows away and she delivered the baby there. Normal delivery. And in came the sannyasi and said, now give your son back to me. So at the age of 5, he took Brahmin Diksha. At the age of 8 to sannyas. This Vadiraja also was a great soul actually. He had done lot of miracles and lot of wonderful things. He was born in 1480 and till 1600th year he lived 120 years. And he written hundreds of books and books of songs. And there is one place called Subramanya Peetha in the temple. And the story of that place is like this. Udupi temple is filled with places inside. There is one Tirtha Mantapa, there is one Chandra Shala, there is a Bhojan Shala, there is Akshay Patra there. Madhvacharya gave the disciples that you must serve unlimited food to people who come here continuously till all the time to come. There is Akshay Patra is there, there is Vasanta Mahal is there, there is Gita Bhavan, there is Goshala, there is Hasti Shala, there is Prasadam Service Shala, there is kitchen, there is Kattike Ratha, there is a Rath made by only wood, Kattike means wood. And that wood which is made in the shape of a chariot arranged, that is the wood they use for whole year's cooking. And when we went, they had just made a fresh rath of the wood. They had arranged the wood in the form of a chariot. The way the chariot would be, the same the wood will be arranged. And that was called Kattige Ratha, to ratha of a wood. Anyway, so the place called Subramanya Tirtham. So this Vajiraja was supposed going to Himalayas and he was performing tapasya. And one time he sat on one shila and he was doing his worship and meditation. Suddenly Muslim soldiers came and they said, "Don't sit on this. This is the samadhi of our king's son. Our king's son is buried here." He said, "Your king's son is buried here?" "Yeah, he's buried here. He's dead." He said, "No, your king's son is alive." So they didn't believe him. He continued worshipping. The soldiers went back to the king and told that one sadhu has come, Hindu sadhu has come, and he is sitting on the cover of your son. And he is saying your son is alive. He is a madman. The king came personally to stop the sadhu from performing his worship. And again Vajiraj told, "Your son is alive, he is not dead." So he made the king open the burial again, open the cover again, and up came the son alive, smiling. And the king was very happy. He said, "You gave my son back. You must be a great soul. I want to donate to you a lot of wealth. Please take." So he gave him, you know, what do you call that? Matkas and matkas and matkas are filled with gold coins and jewels and ornaments. And sadhu said, Vajiraj said that, "I am a sadhu. I don't need your wealth. I am a mendicant. I walk around begging food." But still the king insisted. And he gave him so many pots of wealth carried by so many soldiers. And after the soldiers went away, Vajiraj Swami threw it all in the Ganga river. Everything was flown. And some of the soldiers saw it. That whatever wealth the king gave, the sadhu is really a madman. He threw everything in the water. He went and told the king, "The sadhu, everything whatever you gave is threw in the water." Again came the king with so much of wealth. And he pleaded him, "Please don't throw this time. Please take it with you." At that time, suddenly Vajiraja, it occurred to him, why not take this wealth and take it to Udupi and serve Lord Krishna? So took all the wealth and brought back to Udupi and buried in the ground and declared that whenever Udupi temple will be in dearth of wealth, there will be drought or there will be some scarcity will come, that time they can dig up this wealth and look after the temple. And he established a Naga on that wealth, that is Subramanya Swami. And that whole diorama is there on the temple of Subramanya Swami, where the wealth is under that. Similar, the wealth is there in Ananta Padmanabha also. And that kind of wealth is there in all Indian, South Indian temples. Wherever fine temples, gradually it will be all revealed. This is how our sadhus will have foresight that in times when future, sometime there will be Kali Yuga, there will be no provisions, and how the Lord will be served, we don't know. So then that is the Subramanya Gudi. He has got wealth inside, with the Vajiraja Swami. And he left his body in 1600, did a lot of preaching. So, Udupi Kshetra ki, Madhvacharya ki. His title of Madhvacharya was given to him when he actually defeated many, many Mayavadis. Then he was given title of Madhvacharya. Till that time he was Purna Pragya. But after he defeated so many Mayavadis, and whenever he would defeat many Mayavadis, they would come and actually attack him after that. Suppose he defeats them in daytime, then night time when they are walking to another place, the defeated sadhus will send gundas to attack Madhvacharya and his disciples. And at one time, he empowered his disciple, and his thin and slim disciple defeated 50 people at one time, single-handedly. And he didn't know how he did that. After he did that, he looked at Madhvacharya, he said, "I have empowered you, don't worry." And at one time, the gundas attacked him and they all became bulldozers. So they became huge mountain-like shilas and they were rolling on the ground. As men were walking, they became shilas and they were rolling. And those shilas were coming on the body of those aggressors. So they ran away. And again these boulders, they became men and started walking away. They never knew what happened to them. But to other people, it appeared as boulders coming on their body. Slabs of stone. The other time, Madhvacharya alone, the single hand, defeated so many people. That was one hand only. In about 18, when he was traveling as a preacher, at one time, one fellow brought 125 bananas. Not like Kali Yuga banana that we eat. We feel so big and so quality. Each banana was 10 inches in circumference. Here my hand is not able to be completing 10 inches if I toss like this. They were like this big. And they were 1.5 feet long. And those 125 bananas Madhvacharya ate alone in few minutes. To the amazement of people, after having a full meal, they brought him the bananas and he ate all the bananas like that. So many wonderful things he did along with his wonderful preaching. His eating was very, very famous, and as sannyasi also he would eat a lot. He was a very unique sannyasi. Wherever he would go, he would eat a lot of food, mountain-like food he would eat alone, you know. And then he would preach and defeat the Mayavadis. They were very happy to feed him nicely. It was a great pleasure for them to feed him, to have great fun to see him eating the wonderful amount of prasadam. So we are very grateful to Madhvacharya, because Madhvacharya established personality of Godhead, created a platform for Lord Chaitanya to come. Amazingly, you will not believe that Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and gave him personal instructions how he should preach the personality of Godhead. So it was when Mahaprabhuji appeared to Madhvacharya, it was a Mayapur scene in Udupi. Like when Lord Krishna appeared to Devaki, he appeared in Dwarka. But when he appeared to Devaki, it was Vrindavan scene, you know. She also became like Yashoda only, churning butter and milk. Like that, when Mahaprabhuji appeared to Madhvacharya, it was Mayapur scene, Navadvip Dham scene. And there Mahaprabhu Chaitanya instructed Madhvacharya. Beautiful description of that discussion what took place between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Madhvacharya. So actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu guided Madhvacharya to exactly how to worship, how to preach, and create perfect ground for preaching, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and establish Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneous oneness and difference. Difference Madhvacharya preached. Mayavadi is already established similarity, oneness. Mahaprabhu came and inconceivable oneness and difference Mahaprabhu established. And one time, two times actually, Madhvacharya went to Himalayas and met his original guru, actual guru, is Vyasadev. His disciples he left behind at one point of time, Badrinath, and went ahead in the glaciers inside, ice and snow. And there under the Badri tree, there is a bare tree, he found his Gurudev teaching Upadesh to his disciples, and there he met his Gurudev, Vyasadev. In first visit, Vyasadev instructed him to write Gita Bhashya. So he stayed there only for 3 months and wrote his Gita Bhashya, showed Vyasadev Muni, he approved of it, and then with that Gita Bhashya he came down and he preached. And second time when he went, at that time he ordered him to write Mahabharat Tatparya Nirnaya, that is commentary on Mahabharat. And his commentary was so realistic, it couldn't have been written by anybody else who was there present in Mahabharat. So many, many instances in this Mahabharat Tatparya Nirnaya book, we can understand that it is written by Bhimsen only, because Bhimsen was there in the war, eyewitness. Another proof of that he was Bhimsen in the past life, when he took his disciples back from Himalayas and he came down to Kurukshetra, he showed the tree to them. This is the tree under which Krishna showed Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And then the disciple asked, "Do you know where Bhima's gada is?" And immediately pointed out to one place, and they made him dig that place and took out the gada of Bhimsen. Only he could know it, because he was Bhimsen himself. Then they had darshan, they bowed down to the gada, and they again buried the gada in the ground. Today we don't know where it is, but at that time, 400 years back, Madhvacharya revealed the gada of Bhimsen. So it is explained that because he was there in Mahabharat, he could explain so many secret things of Mahabharat in his Tatparya Nirnaya Patrika. Mahabharat Tatparya, what I said? Mahabharat Tatparya Nirnaya. First chapter is about introduction, 7 chapters are about Ramayan, and next 11 chapters are complete Mahabharata. Description is there. This is the life of Madhvacharya. We are very grateful to him. Because of his creating a platform, we couldn't have understood Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva right from impersonalism. There had to be a step development in between of personality of Godhead, establishment of person of the Lord, and then we could understand oneness and difference by the divine arrangements of Madhvacharya. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.